Holy God, because you are a devouring fire, we worship you with awe. In holy fear, we're inclined to keep away from you. After all, we don't want to be consumed by your fire. Yet you invite us to draw near. Because of what Christ has done for us, we don't have to be afraid that we will be burned up in your righteous judgment. Rather, when we approach you, we know in advance that we will receive mercy and find grace. Amen. Please be seated. So every summer, and this summer is no exception, in BC we have forest fires. There are now approximately over 500 fires burning in the province. And we know that these fires that are burning are destructive to property and animals and people. However, the thing with fire is sometimes they are also used to help clean the forest floor by removing the low-lying underbrush and can over time, through the natural growing processes of the trees, clear away the unhealthy trees to allow others to grow in their place. And in today's reading from Exodus, if you want to, you can turn to your bulletin and follow along with the scripture. We have a fire, a bush that is on fire, but the flames do not spread to the greenery around it. Instead, the text tells us the blazing bush is not consumed. And its appearance heralds the beginning of the second half of the life of Moses. Just as an aside, Moses' life can be kind of, divided into three parts. So the first 40 years was spent in Egypt, where he is rescued from certain death by a Pharaoh's daughter. The second, third 40 years explores his call, and that's the one we're going to talk about today. Explores his call to liberate the Israelites. And the third part, or the last 40 years, is spent in that long journey in the wilderness, leading the Israelites, who could be very stubborn, towards the promised land. So although he is a Hebrew, Moses has been raised in the riches of the Egyptian court, living a life of royalty and privilege. And when he's about 40, he saw an Egyptian soldier mistreating a Hebrew slave, and he murdered him. And knowing he was in trouble, and that his royal status would not protect him, he flees into the desert of Midian. And there he marries a woman called Zipporah. He had children, became a shepherd, and a member of his father-in-law's tribe, Jethro. Now, 40 years later, at 80, how many people here are 80? Or more, a couple. Imagine doing what he was doing. This is what he was doing. Now, 40 years later, at 80, he is looking after the sheep near Mount Horeb, and there, his life's purpose is revealed. So just because you're over 80, don't you be thinking that your life's purpose, well, if it's not been revealed yet, it's there. So on this day, when he's doing what he's responsible for, he encountered the angel of the Lord burning like fire in an ordinary bush on the backside of the desert. Now, the burning bush experience doesn't happen apart from or in spite of everyday life, but in the midst of life. He was doing the ordinary things of life, the things he'd been doing for the last 40 years, the same things he did the day before, the week before, the month before. Because burning bushes can show up when we keep our routine in everyday life. Marriage, parenting, work, friendships, errands, church, reading the news, household tasks. You just never know when a burning bush will show up. Burning bushes are those circumstances or events that interrupt our life and grab our attention. They're not part of our plans. They take us by surprise. They stop us in our tracks and cause us to turn aside. They are what John Lennon famously said, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. We stop. We take a second look, which is what Moses did. And then there's this beautiful line from a very long poem written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. When Moses turned aside to see the common bush, God called to him, saying, don't come any closer. Stay where you are. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. So in the ancient world, it was quite common for people to remove their sandals when entering a temple. It's interesting, eh? People, before we come into someone's house, we say, do you want me to remove your shoes? You know, remove their shoes. Some scholars have suggested that this might have to do with not bringing grime from the outside world into a sacred place. And still others see the removal of shoes as a sign of submission, since slaves generally went barefoot. Although we can't be sure of the original meaning of a sandal remover, for Moses, it was surely a sign of reverence before God, as well as an act of obedience. I think that many of us have lost sight or lost touch with the tangible signs that honor God's holiness. Yes, God is our friend, but this friend is also the holy, all-wise, all-powerful creator of the universe, a God worthy of our reverence and submission. I think we need to be reminded of divine holiness in the midst of our daily lives. And today, with the infectious coronavirus, only a few of us are gathered in this holy place. But I think what we have rediscovered is that holiness is everywhere, not just in a building. I'm telling you, holiness is on that seawalk. In the beauty of those mountains as I drive here on Sunday. In the incredible trails we have. And in the sound of the wind. Because I think we can find holy ground wherever we are. The bush burned with the presence of God that day and still burns with God's presence today. And God says to Moses, I've observed the misery of my people. I've heard their cry. I know their suffering. And I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians. God coming to rescue God's people. And then in the next breath, God says to Moses, oh, so I will come and I'll send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of the land of Egypt. God is going to deliver his people by sending Moses. Moses is to give life to God's call for deliverance. Moses is to make real and enact God's desire for his people. Because the burning bush, I think, is a story of a call and a response. Something is being called for in the name of the Lord. And I believe that the call and response is also the story of our lives. Something is being asked of us in the name of God. And here's a few questions for you. What is interrupting or disrupting or erupting in your life today and is asking for a response? What is being called for? How do we respond? Moses' response was one of questioning his own abilities. He says, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt? And there will be a sign. The sign, God says, will come after the people have been delivered, not before. It's as if God is saying, you'll look back on this and see I was there all along. Because we live life forward. uncertain, not knowing, and only begin to make sense of it in retrospect. Ain't that true? Many of the hardest parts about moving forward is not looking back. Remember that line from the gospel where Jesus says, you know, the person plowing, don't look back. Don't look back at the furrow. As I read the other day, faith is moving forward even when things don't make sense, trusting that in hindsight, everything will become clear. Then, still reluctant and not confident of his ability to undertake this task, Moses asked, but who are you? You could be any god. You could be god of the water, god of the crops. Remember, the Israelites were living surrounded by many gods. What am I going to tell the people when they ask, who gave you the authority to come and talk to us? And the passage ends with the declaration, you know what it is, I am who I am. I am present. I am eternal. I am the God who will be with you, the God who is sending you. And you need my presence more than you need a name. You need assurance from me more than you need an answer from me. And I am with you. And the point of Exodus is that the God of Israel and the universe is a God who makes himself known. The great I am, knowable, reachable, personal. And we know that same God in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God with skin on. The great I am equipped and empowered Moses to fulfill his destiny and will do the same for you and I. For we have not been given a spirit of timidity, but of love and power and self-control. We have been redeemed and set free. And I'm reminded of what I think is one of the greatest sermons of the 20th century, given by Dr. Martin Luther King in his 1963 I Have a Dream speech. King loudly proclaims from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, Washington, D.C., the words of an old Negro spiritual. Free at last. Free at last. God Almighty, we are free at last. That is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God of eternity, whose power is infinite, whose days are without number, and whose mercy is beyond our fathoming, keep our faces always turned toward you, so that each day we remember that life, the life is your gift, and the hour of our death is unknown. Oh, and Lord, when we finally meet you face to face, transform us in the fire of your love and receive us into your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.